Welcome to the Production Talk podcast with me, Jan of mixartist.com.au. In this podcast series, we celebrate the modern way of producing music. We want to talk about all things related to songwriting, recording at home, and music production. So if you produce your music at home, this is the place to be. Please subscribe and recommend this podcast to all your friends. This is the Production Talk podcast, episode 65. Welcome back to another episode of the Production Talk podcast. At the beginning of this episode, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the country that this conversation is recorded on, the Arakwal people of the Bundjalung Nation. And I would like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Today is a bit of a different episode. Today I would like to give you a little sneak preview of a project that I've been working on for quite a few months now. If you are a regular listener to the podcast, you may already know earlier this year we had a couple of episodes about the floods that happened in the Northern Rivers region on the east coast of Australia and the devastating effects that this has had on local towns such as Lismore and Mullumbimby and many others. A while ago I started the Flood Songs project to do my part in getting the local music industry back on its feet. And over the last weeks and months, we've all been working tirelessly on this production. And we hit a couple of snags along the way, a couple of hiccups, things took longer than expected. Who would have thought? Isn't that always the case? But today we actually met up with some of the artists today and had the final listening session before we sent the finished mixes off to mastering to legendary Andy Stewart of the Mill Studio, which you may also know as a previous guest at the Production Talk podcast. So today I'd like to introduce some of the artists who are on the compilation and tell a brief story about how their recordings came to pass. So first up, let me talk to you about Cocos Production. Cocos Production was one that Nathan Stanbrough and I worked on together. We ping-ponged fore and back, so to speak, we tried different approaches. It was the only song where we had to have two attempts at getting it right. We didn't get it right in the first place. The song was based around an acoustic guitar and vocals, and at the beginning we tried to get it all, you know, on a click and, you know, clean produced with separate guitars and vocals, and it just didn't feel right, so we actually had to reset it and start again. Thank you, Coco, for your patience. I really appreciate this, but eventually we just recorded vocals and guitar just as it came out of her in the live room in one take. No? So I think actually we recorded three takes or was it four? And one of them we decided for, and that was taken start to finish, no editing whatsoever. And then we added a couple of extras. I recorded the kick drum with microphones at the far end of the room to get a bit of a heartbeat kick underneath. I recorded a couple of simple swells with the mallets, and then we also added some sound effects, rain and thunder, as well as a couple of strings in the final chorus to make it a little bit thicker, just a little bit. Coco's song is absolutely beautiful. It's so organic. It feels like it's just raw, full of emotion and full of a story. And it's maybe not a production masterpiece as such, but that wasn't really the intention anyway. The intention was to really capture the moment and capture the vibe and the stories as they eventuated after or during and after the floods. And it's worth really listening to Coco's lyrics. What she's got to say goes really, really deep, and she's got a very amazing expression to get this all out. So without further ado, let's hand over to Coco and let her share a couple of words. Coco, over to you.
Hi, my name is Coco. I wrote the song Spirit of Hope for the Flood Songs Project. I'm a solo artist, singer, songwriter. On February the 28th, I was at home in East Lismore, a fairly new local to the area. I was grieving the loss of my 18-year-old son who'd just left home, as well as the passing of a cherished fellow music maker who's served to be a huge inspiration for me over the years. One of the opening lines of my song, Sky Cried Like a Brother Just Died, is a tribute to him. My experience of the flood event around Lismore was peculiar, and I experienced a creeping sandwich stress. I had a four-month-old baby at home, so I was unable to be of any hands-on help at the time. My husband and teenage daughter were at the front lines for the clean-up in Lismore and Corakai. They were reporting to me each evening their experiences, and I felt at a loss, helpless and sad, as reports of lives of loved ones lost and devastation spread. When I saw the call out for the flood song article in the Echo newspaper, I knew that I would benefit from the catharsis that comes from opening up. I wanted to give a voice to the situation in the hope that victims of this tragedy could feel validated. I wrote a ballad, which in turn has become a protest song. So many injustices that needed highlighting. I continue to hear horror stories from within the Lismore community. Everyone is keen to move forward, but there's still an eerie elephant in the room standing in the shadows that we're all wondering when and who will address and make the fundamental changes. I wrote the song quickly, in a day. The message just came through. The recording process took a little bit longer, but we nailed it in the end. My song is still in production, but is sounding authentic so far. I have a bunch of songs that I'd like to polish and record in the not-too-distant future. Thank you, Jan, for the opportunity to birth what I feel is a raw expression of a tragic event. I'm trusting that the transmutation of this brings about healing for individuals and communities alike.
Thank you for sharing, Coco. Much appreciated, and thank you for being on board. Next up, let me introduce Emma Hamilton, who recorded the longest piece of the compilation, and wow, what a journey this piece is. Emma's worked on it for a while, and she's composed mainly on a computer, and then met with producer Sophia Stone, who worked with her very closely to re-record all the vocals, and then they handed it over to me for a bit more editing and mixing, and it took a fair bit of work to get this song right, because there are just so many elements in it, lots of electronic music elements, however there are also lots and lots of sound effects and lots of layers of vocals, and the piece is in the end over 7 minutes long. It takes you on a journey through different stages, builds it up, breaks it back down, and takes you on a very intense journey. Thank you for being on board, Emma. Over to you.
Hi, I'm Emma Hamilton. I've been a singer-songwriter for over 30 years. I've been in lots of bands, but over the last few years I've been really recording quite a lot of music on GarageBand at home. I have 4 albums on soundcloud.com/Emma-Hamilton4 if you want to have a listen. This year I experienced flood in Suffolk Park. I had a few inches through the house, which could have been a lot worse. It was a lot worse for a lot of other people, but it really triggered my memories of my experience when I was 19 in the Lismore flood of 1989. It was an 11-metre flood and I was in the attic for 3 days waiting for the waters to go down. It was a fairly traumatic experience, although I did handle it in my stride. My song really explains the experience. I felt inspired to write a song about it. And then I saw Jan's post on Facebook putting out a call out for artists who have experienced flood. And so I went ahead and wrote the song and recorded it. It's basically a story from start to finish. It doesn't actually have a chorus, which is a different way of writing for me. I really enjoyed the process. It was described as genre-defying, which I thought was awesome and I'm very proud of. I'm also a visual artist. I'm a painter. I did this painting behind me. And I'm also a ceramic sculptor. You can see some of those pictures on Instagram on emma.hamilton.arts4. That's the number 4. You enjoy my song and enjoy the album. I've just been so chuffed to be a part of this whole process and to be chosen to be on the album. Jan is just an incredible human, such a beautiful person, and just so kind and wonderful to have created this album, to have volunteered his time and energy, and for other people to have also put in their time and energy. I think it's going to be an incredible outcome. And sending out lots of love to you all. Bye.
Thank you for your kind words, Emma. Much appreciated. The next artist is somebody who you may have heard of before. Her name is Shelley Brown, and she's got a podcast, Singing Lessons for No One, and I've mentioned it more than once. I think it was even in last week's episode, wasn't it? So Shelley and I, we go a long while back, and interestingly, she was the last act that we recorded, so the hardest part of the production was actually to find time. Shelley is very busy. She's got lots on. She's got a family to look after, and so do I. We both have kids in a similar age. So it took us longer than it should have to actually get our act together and really find time, make time to meet up in the studio. And once we did, it just fell into place so easily. We spent less than a day in the studio. We recorded acoustic guitar and vocals to start with, and then later added extra bass and organs. And Shelley played the shaker, giggling like a little child, full of joy. Let me just think about it. Did we add anything else? Of course, lots of harmonies, of course. So that song came together really easily in the studio. And sometimes the planning stage is the hardest. So over to you, Shelley.
Hi there, my name's Shelley Brown. I'm a singer and a songwriter and a vocal coach. I make a really fun podcast called Singing Lessons for No One. I love teaching singing and sharing all the things that your voice can do. It's the funnest thing I can think of. The musicians that I work with are my dear husband, Dan Brown. He plays all the instruments that I can think of. He plays keys and bass, and we both pretend we can play the drums really well. And I play with Grant Geraghty, who plays the drum kit, and he's a legend. I feel like I send him my songs, and he sends them back to me, and we speak this language that is unspoken and perfect and beautiful. On the day of the flood, it was my birthday weekend. It was the end of February. We were all in our swimmers and we were playing in this light rain and looking at the bomb, and the weather forecast was the last thing on our minds. And it was my birthday weekend. We were celebrating. My sister was visiting from Melbourne, catching the last bits of heat that she could grab before she headed home. And we walked out around the house and we were thinking, this is a lot of rain. And the more it rained, the more we thought, this is a lot more rain. And it started to flood in certain parts of our garden that just shouldn't flood. An amount of rain that just shouldn't happen. And when we realized it was coming in the house, we didn't worry about the garden anymore. we were inside, and I remember when I was pregnant with my son, I bought all these crappy towels just in case, because we live half an hour from the hospital. And I didn't end up using them. That's another entire story for you one day. But I can tell you that all of the good towels were out on this day. We covered all of our floors in towels, and we were sweeping and trying to push and fight the rain and the floods that was coming in. And for weeks after, I was just thinking about how lucky we were that we could fight for the people that had 14 metres. You can't fight that much water. There's nothing that you can do except sit on your roof and try and get saved. And how lucky we were that we could fight it and push it and try and direct it and tell it who was boss, which is just unthinkable. Rain is rain, water's water. It goes where it wants to flow. So I wrote lots of songs through this time, because writing songs is how I process and how I work through everything that I work through in my life. I sit and I write songs. I wouldn't play them all to you. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're really nice, but some of them are just for me. But I wrote maybe 3 or 4 over these weeks, just sitting at my dining room table, listening to the rain behind me, just thinking about everybody. I went to uni in Lismore a solid 20 years ago, and so the circles of our community have spun out and out, and, you know, you still know people that live in Lismore or know people that know people, and all the surrounding towns. It wasn't just Lismore, darling Lismore, but it was so many towns near us. And so all of these songs that I wrote were thinking about the people that I know and the people's that I know and all that they dealt with on that day. And it was a heavy time and it was scary. And I wrote for my son, who was scared of the rain, which I feel for him with all of my heart and soul, because I love the rain. I love rain on a tin roof. There is no more Australian comforting sound to my heart than rain on a tin roof through gum trees, if you're lucky. But for a bit there, for a few months in, without a doubt, we were afraid of the rain, and the bomb was the most constantly checked website in our house. It was a really full-on time, and we're still a long way from having rebuilt our house. A long, slow, painful journey. And my husband is this strong, calm, gentle man that's supported and just strode through it and is sorting. I don't know if he's freaking out on the inside, but he is strong and calm, and I try to be strong and calm for my son. It's just like a little therapy session talking to myself. I first heard about the flood project that Jan was orchestrating via the internet, through Facebook and through the Echo newspaper. And I'd been talking with my sister lots about how all the creative people that live here would be making art and making creations forevermore about this, because there's nothing else you can do for 14 metres of rain. 14 metres of rain, 14 metres of water across valleys and valleys and valleys. Like, so many towns were affected by this. It's just so much water that the only thing you could do is have art created for the next few decades about it, because it's just ridiculous. It's an absolutely stupid amount of rain. So I had been writing songs and I had been creating. And I know Jan a little from his amazing podcast that he creates, that I listen to with wide ears and wide eyes to learn more and more about how to create this thing that I love, about more techniques with microphones and about techniques of recording and mixing and mastering and all the things that you do to let your creativity flow whilst pressing record, this thing that makes you feel a little bit freaked out. You're recording it. It's like imprinting yourself. So you want to do it well and you want to do it creatively and individually and uniquely. So I knew of Jan. I know Jan. Jan's mixed lots of gigs that I've played at the Billy Nigel pub. Oh man, how was Billy Nigel in the flood? Oh, son of a, just more towns, so many towns. Oh, yeah. Am I being cohesive? Okay. I heard about the Flood Project on Facebook from Jan, and I know Jan really well through recording and mixing and from him doing live sound at the Billy Nigel pub. And I saw that he'd put it out there and I thought, oi, yeah, I want to be part of things that document this insane disaster in beautiful ways. So I put my hand out and I sent 3 songs in that I had written, and the process went forward from there. I was lucky enough to be included. I'm delighted to be included. What else are we talking about? Oh, goals. Shit. Okay. Over the next 12 months, my goals in music are to continue stepping outside of my flood-ravaged home and continue making ways for voices to be in harmony together. Because my house flooded, I couldn't teach in my home anymore. And so I started a choir in a local hall, which was incredibly lucky to be able to book because all of the community centres around here are now hosting all of the businesses that got flooded. So they're absolutely the most vibrant hubs you've ever seen because the towns got taken out. So I have a choir, and I'm not a choir teacher. Don't know how to do a choir at all, but I love teaching singing. And so I'm teaching choir singing technique, harmony, joy. It's my own brand of thang and it's hilarious. And I take tea and bickies and really you can't fault that. It's just the best thing. And I also teach songwriting and vocal joy workshops at SAE in Byron. They host me and they say, hey, Shelley, what do you want to do? And I say, I want to do this. And they said, yeah, let's do that, because they want to support community people doing their thing as well, which is pretty awesome considering it's a worldwide institute. I feel incredibly lucky to be able to do that. What else do? I also perform regularly here and there doing lots of little things. I had a gig this morning. I had a gig last week, and that's as good as it gets. Just gigs and music and singing and meeting people who love music. It's pretty joyful and lovely. And that's my goal. Just keep being. No major goals. No opera house for me. Not today. Okay. You can find my music at my website, which is shelley.com.au. And you spell my name S-H-E-L-L-Y, just like a shell sitting on a beach. Just a shell and then a Y. .com.au. And you'll find all my music, Shelley Brown, on all of the things that you find music on, because that's where it's fun. But you can track me down and we can jam live. Or if you want to do a singing lesson via Zoom, then that's pretty damn fun as well. I'm fun in a square and I'm fun in real life. And that's as good as it gets. Did I cover all the points? That's 11 minutes of Shelley being awesome. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening to my song and thanks for having me as part of this flood project. It was a disastrous event that happened twice, a month apart, and I'm delighted to be a part of things that are bringing light and joy and music and harmony from such a dark, catastrophic event. Thanks so much, Jan. You're the best.
Thank you, Shelley. Good, let's move on to the next and also the last artist of this episode. There are a few more artists who I will introduce at a later stage. But now let's hand it over to Jason Zalu, also known as Zalu of Zalu and the Alchemists of Sound. Zalu produced his song acoustically first with producer Sophia Stone. She also recorded his vocals and did a phenomenal job. The production all up was eventually pieced together between lots of work from Sophia. Also, Zalu did a lot of work at home. Did some recordings, guitars, bass, backing vocals, and eventually the two handed it over to me to sort through a larger puzzle of Pro Tools sessions and individual files, which, wasn't a big deal. I got it all sorted and had it up and running in no time. And yeah, this mix came together relatively quickly. The signal quality was really nice and there was a really good energy. So both Zalu and you, Sophia, you did a phenomenal job. And let's head over to Zalu and have a listen to his story.
Hi, everyone out there. I am Zalu, local singer-songwriter, guitarist, music producer of the Byron Bay Shire for over 20 years now. The kind of music that generally I write and love writing, I've been learning to produce my own records now for about 5 to 7 years, doing a lot of studio work, mainly focusing on 80s electro, sort of 90s funky house sort of stuff that I've been working on at home without the band, with COVID and everything like that. Also got like a folky, sort of rootsy sort of sound I like to do with a solo acoustic mode. And the other sound is a sort of cyclic grunge rock, funk rock, 90s sort of vibe with my band, The Alchemist of Sound. I've worked with different musicians over the years since living in the Shire. I generally put bands together to record records, bass player, drummer, guitarist, keyboard players, and so forth. Generally, when the flood hit, I was working in my recording studio in Mullumbimby, and I was by myself, and it was raining a lot, obviously, you know, over the time, relentlessly, over days on end. And, you know, got a knock at the door going, hey, we've got to go to higher ground, you know, the we're near a river, and it was coming onto the property. Lucky for me, it only come on a quarter on the property, and it never came onto my cabin, and it never damaged any of my equipment. I've heard all kinds of nightmare stories of other people who lost everything. It's tragic. After that experience, I felt the need to write this song called Northern Rivers Rising. Now, we did evacuate the property and go to higher ground, so I was in that very vulnerable position, which I've never been in before, where what am I going to take, what am I going to leave? And I end up grabbing certain things just in case the place flooded. Like my laptop, you know, my guitars, my lyric books. Hey, I can leave my studio monitors, they can be replaced. So it was quite a harrowing experience, even just being in that vulnerable position. End up putting my stuff in the car. We end up going up to higher ground, and you know, the power was off, and you know, it never really flooded on my property. So I feel so blessed and lucky that didn't happen. But unfortunately, I did hear all kinds of tragic, heartbreaking stories of what happened in the whole Northern Rivers region, especially in the hills with the landslips, and it was just crazy. And I was, you know, going through a bit of vicarious sort of trauma myself hearing about these stories, even though generally I was okay and my gear was okay. So, I mean, it was interesting because I wrote this song called Northern Rivers Rising. It was more just acoustic guitar and vocal. And I know Jan just from around the traps for many years. And the ad popped up on his mix artist page on Facebook, and I go, wow, well, that's just a coincidence. You know, I've written this song and they're after songs about the floods. So therefore I submitted the song and hooked up with Safia, and we sort of got together and talked about the direction and what we could do with the song. It was really just going to start really as an acoustic guitar vocal song. And then you know, I was kind of at home having a listen to it, and I thought, oh, wow, you know, that's right. I actually had to put like a beat down, like a click track, but I put a beat down to play in time because I was going to go into another professional recording studio and do the vocals and the acoustic guitars with Safia. So I ended up putting this beat down just to play along as a click track, and it was a pretty cool beat, you know, it was a rock beat. And I thought, wow, well, you know, wouldn't that be cool if we put some bass on? And then I put some bass down and like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be good some with heavy guitars? And it sort of morphed, you know, I was just at home. I end up tracking, you know, the track a little bit more, so I'm putting some more overdubs. So it's gone from this solo acoustic guitar raw vocal that I submitted the original demo to more of a rock kind of Midnight Oil kind of dumba 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 da kind of song. And I really embraced, you know, that, you know, Australian Aussie rock sound on this track. Sent it to Sapphire and she's like, oh yeah, I kind of like that. And then and she's like, oh, you know, do you like the acoustic too? And then she ended up, we ended up deciding to go for the rock sound kind of thing, because I find generally with songs, you know, I've learned over the years, you know, regardless of how I write, who wrote it, myself, or who's going to produce it, what does the song want? What is the song saying to me? You know, and I felt the song needed a little bit more than just vocals, guitar. So I end up tracking a lot of it here, the bass, the overdubs on the heavy guitars, and then it needed some nice lead. I put some lead on. Did a guide vocal, went into a more professional recording studio and did the vocals and guitars, and then we fused the sessions together and gave it to Jan. And that's that in a nutshell of the recording of Northern Rivers Rising. Generally in my personal life, with my music, I've been doing a lot of music production. I've got a lot of content. I wasn't even going to write another song, you know, because I've done so much recording. I find songs, I don't force them. They naturally come out of me when the time is right. And I really felt the need to write this song about what went on in my experience in the community with the floods. The next sort of plans and visions for my music would more to get into the marketing side of things, to start, you know, getting more into the marketing and pushing my music out there a little bit more into the world stage, because I've been focusing a lot more on music production, learning to be a music producer, which I have done now. I'm quite happy with the skills that I've learned over many years of sitting in front of the computer. And the next stage is marketing. So that's where I'm at. You can find my music or the records that I've recorded in the past. I've got some rock stuff online. I've got some electro stuff online. My YouTube channel has some acoustic stuff. So there's three sounds you can find online. Zahlu.com, Z-A-H, H in the middle, Z-A-H-L-U.com. Spotify, same, Z-A-H, Zahlu. You'll find my records on there. And YouTube, with YouTube, there's a few more film clips and some live, a lot of live recordings, my band with the Alchemist of Sound and some of the electro stuff I'm doing and some acoustic. So you can find all the styles of the music I do online, YouTube. That's it for me. Take care. Really grateful that I am included on this amazing project. Thanks to all involved. Take care. Love life. Catch you later. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Zahlu. This is actually all that we have time for today. Actually, this is officially the latest episode I've ever produced. It is now almost midnight and this episode is going live in just only 4 hours. I will promise to be better and not leave it for that late. Let me just say a huge thank you to all the musicians who contributed to the Floodsongs project. Three of them were not included in today's episode. We will have another special on the remaining three next week, of course. But I also would like to thank the musicians who played sessions, like Dan Brown, for example. Actually, we had two Dan Browns, a drummer and a keyboard player, both volunteering their musical services, which is really appreciated. Also, a huge shout out to Sophia Stone and Nathan Stanbro our producer team. They helped me so much. I couldn't have done it without them. And a huge extra thank also to Andy Stewart, who is now in charge with the mastering stage. Also, I'd like to thank the SAE Institute, who were very kind in donating some studio time. So this production, this album, this entire compilation was pretty much produced between my studio in Malamimbi. Some of it was done at SAE, and quite a bit was actually done at home, just the way it happens these days, which I believe is just right at the core of the Production Talk podcast. That's what we always talk about. Yeah, it's all coming together now, and I can't wait to show you the finished result once it's out, which will be very soon. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach out to me directly, of course, you can do so via my website, mixartist.com.au, where I offer studio recording services on the East Coast of Australia. And of course, we also offer online mixdown services for musicians worldwide. Hit me up. Let's have a chat. I would love to get to know you. Okay, that's all for today. It's almost midnight. It's time for me to tune out. I still have a bit of editing to do and catch a touch of sleep as well. So that's all for today. Bye for now. Speak to you next week.